everyone, to episode number 86 of the Daddy Sharps podcast. My name is Luke.
And I'm John. We're just a couple of dads who like to make the sharpest bets we can.
And we're just a couple of dads who this week, Johnny J, break down the fights that your square buddies are too scared to break down. And this week, we've got all your best bets from UFC 301 this Saturday in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we're spoiled here. The last three cards, two of them pay-per-views, awesome. Except Excellent. That second one in the middle was kind of crappy.
Yeah.
But we're going to recap why I thought it was crappy.
Yeah. I kind of liked it.
I didn't like it at all. So, and here's why. The best bets we gave out, I went 1-4 in my best picks. And in the prop betting market, I went 1-3. Fantastico. So since we started giving out UFC picks at the end of the Super Bowl here, my record now stands at 22-12-1, thanks to a historically bad week.
Yeah, well, you know, and to be in all fairness, it was one of those cards that a lot of people just didn't break down, right? Because it was weird, and it was an in-between card.
Yeah,
and they were back at the apex, and they threw a lot of guys in there who needed to do something to prove themselves, and or they're out, and it was just one of those weird weeks. But you know, I actually did pretty well, so it was one of those weeks where, it was one of those weeks where you could actually challenge each other, and you know, I was willing to take the risk. And well, yeah, 10-4. I was 10-4 as we went head-to-head on a lot of those fights on the card. Three out of my four best bets, by the way, on women's fights. I love to see that. The stats are like they're like tea leaves, John. You just got to know how to read them. And I've got more on stats concerning at least one fight between two females that I really like on this card.
Well, if you're not ready to move on, I think I am. I'm done with the Apex.
Let's move on.
I'm on to Rio, okay? So we're on to UFC 301 in Rio, filled with young Brazilian talent and the king of Rio himself, Jose Aldo. Ooh. Some hefty prices on this one. So I'm going to give 8 picks this time. That's right, my friend. 8 picks, and bet construction's going to be key here.
8 picks. Maybe we'll have a 9th surprise pick at the end as well. Maybe.
A little surprise, and it's going to pay plus money. See.
Let's get it on. Here we go. Let's begin with a prelim lightweight fight, John. Ismael Moreira Bonfim versus Vince from Hell Pichel.
I'm glad you're reading all the names here, but my favorite pick here is Bofim -450. I know this is what this card's all about, though. We have a little rematch here, too. Kind of. A little sort of rematch. The last time these two tried to fight, Bofim missed weight by 4.5 pounds. And for anybody that has not fought in a combat sport where weight's important, that is a hell of a lot of weight. I don't even know how you show up that heavy. Bofim has a lot going for him in this fight, though. Great striker on the feet, strong takedown defense. And then we have the age factor. Pichel, 41 years old, to Bofim's 28. Pichel is 4-1 in his last 5 fights. 2 of his wins came against guys that were cut from the UFC, and a win over old man Jim Miller. Plus, we have a 2-year layoff for Pichel. Like I was telling you before the podcast, all the data is lining up for a big win here for Bofim. Finally, we got the takedown defense of Pichel. Worst on this card, giving up multiple takedowns in every single fight. I expect Bofim to get the home crowd cheering early in this one. And that's why I'm taking Bofim with the big victory, sir.
I love it. I love it. And I love what you did there. And I love how you organized all the fights. And I see what you're doing.
You see what I'm doing.
Normally, I would totally consider going against you. But on this card, we're together mostly.
Yes.
Pichel refused to fight last time they were supposed to meet. Like we talked about, watch Bonfim again here, though, because Bonfim didn't make weight. See if he makes weight this time around. Pichel is 40 years old, though. 41 years old in just a couple of weeks, John.
Yeesh. Not a good birthday.
Really difficult to compete in a fight against someone who is almost half your age. He's gone through multiple injuries. He likes to march forward right into the chaos when he fights, just goes straight forward into the punches, and he likes to throw a high volume of punches himself. You can't do that against Bonfim. Bonfim is going to have the crowd behind him as well. He's faster. He punches hard. Give me Bonfim to win by finish. I'm going to up it a little bit by finish. I'll probably also buy Bonfim by KO.
Oh, I do like that. Hey, I'm not doing the props right now, but that is one I completely agree with there.
40-year-old man's going to come here. He's going to come right in, walk right into your zone and try to throw down with you. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. It's not
by the way, folks, for all the Daddy Sharp listeners, we are making fun of this man's age. He's incredibly ancient, and he's a grandpa, but he's younger considerably than me and Luke. So we'll continue on with that.
Well, if someone wanted to pay me $1 million to go in the ring, I might consider it. Next That's up, true. Another prelim lightweight fight. We got Joaquim Silva versus Drakkar Klose.
I think we're going to notice a little similarities here. A lot of Brazilians on this card, which is what usually the UFC does. Stacks it even in the prelims. And this is another one where Silva is the hometown favorite. And I'm going against him. I like Klose, minus 200. This fight comes down to who is showing their age less. And that's Klose. Silva hasn't beaten anyone under 36 in his last five fights, while Klose has beaten younger opponents. The chin, major concern for Silva as well. Three of his last four losses have come via knockout. Klose does have some issues with southpaws, however, in the past. He lost the two previous southpaws he faced, but those guys had much longer reaches than Klose, and Silva has a shorter reach than Klose by an inch. On the three-fight win streak that Klose is on, he's won the striking battle, and he's mixing in the takedowns. In this fight, I expect him to pepper Silva on the feet with strikes and win the decision, but not the hearts of Rio. Klose is going to win, and Silva is going to stop a lot of punches with his face.
Now that's funny.
Yes.
All right. Here's my take. Klose has got a lot of good fights under his belt at 14-2. This is a striker versus a brawler matchup. I think you'd agree with that, right?
Yes.
Klose is 6-1 in his last seven fights. That said, he hasn't fought a ton in the last several years. He's a decent wrestler, a much better striker. He's really probably going to start the fight dodging the bombs that Silva is going to lob right at him out of the gate. Home crowd. Silva's going to be pumped up, and Silva is the brawler. He's just going to be throwing haymakers, I think. Silva has been KO'd in a few of his most recent fights. I think that's key here. He's coming off a decision victory in his last fight. Now I can see him going off in front of his own crowd again, but watch Klose to weather that initial storm, and I will pick Klose to win by finish. I think he knocks out Silva. I'm going to call it in the second round.
So you're saying this is not going to be Klose at all?
No.
Boom, boom.
Hey-o. And with that, we move on to a middleweight fight on the main card, John. Michel Pereira, one of your favorites, versus Ior Potiera. I'm looking forward to this fight a lot.
Pereira, this guy is a cash cow, and now the books are finally realizing it. They priced Pereira at minus 450. Is it any surprise why I'm taking him here? This guy, if you listen to podcasts, one of my most profitable fighters in the UFC over the past few years, and he's only gotten better with the weight change, going up a weight to 185 pounds, and he still looks big for the weight class. Since making the move from 170, this guy's 2-0, two round one finishes, and he's been dominant. Get this, in two fights, he has outstruck his opponents 17-1. That's right. He's only been hit one time in two fights, and he only needed 17 shots to knock out one of his cats, and then he submitted another one. So this guy is dominant at the 185-pound weight class, and he gets to fight an alternate here. And don't forget, Pereira, this guy is a showman, highly entertaining style, and he's fighting in front of his home crowd. I think he's going to want to put on a show, maybe win a little bit of that bonus money. His opponent, southpaw. And guess what? Pereira just spent his last fight camp preparing for a southpaw, which he subbed in round one. And now he gets to bring back in all those lefties again to prepare for this southpaw. He should be ready to face him, no problem. Ior, and that's what he is, Ior, he's going to be sad. He's going to be depressed. He's been knocked out four times in a 26-fight career. but three of those knockouts have come in his last five fights on the UFC. He does not have what we call a UFC chin. He is getting the lights put out on the big show. He's coming off a win, but you can say it's a little debatable. He missed weight by 2.5 pounds. He came in heavy, had a little energy, and as anybody knows that's cut weight before, the hardest part is those last 2.5 pounds, so this guy wasn't drained at all. Finally, his last two wins against one guy who was winless on the UFC and the other, a 40-year-old UFC legend coming off a long layoff and riding a 3-fight losing streak. I also want to mention that that legend was Brazilian, and he beat that guy in Brazil. Pereira is going to get revenge in this fight.
Oh, I love the revenge angle.
Yes, little revenge there. Little revenge.
You mentioned it. Pereira moved up in weight last year. He's done really, really well. He was supposed to fight Muradov.
Yeah, Muradov. Yep.
But
who's a good fighter? He's a pretty good fighter.
Yeah. Do you know why? I don't know why Muradov's not fighting in this card. Did the UFC take him off the card?
I saw it was an infection. That's what they're saying. He had some kind of infection.
Well, don't these guys deal a lot with
staph infections?
Yeah, staph infections and stuff.
Saint Denis comes to mind right away, right?
Interesting. So Potiera, the Ukrainian, he's stepping in. He's just 2-3 after stepping in out of the Dana White's contender series. He missed weight in his last fight. You mentioned that, but he still won. He weighed in at 187.5 pounds. So here he is again trying to make 185 pounds on short notice. I hope he makes weight.
Yes,
I really
that's
do.
What I'm,
I don't
I'm
want
saying
anything to
same.
Happen. Yeah. Pereira is the biggest favorite probably on this whole card right now. So, I don't know if you're going to make much money at that mark, but the fight goes long. Potiera, he will not last in this fight. The only way for Potiera to win is to catch Pereira early. He's a big middleweight. He punches hard. He can also wrestle. He has 6 wins by submission. So give me Pereira instead to win by first round KO. That's what's going to happen.
Beautiful.
That is what's going to happen in this first round KO.
Yes.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
We got a couple of light heavyweights on the main card. The Brazilian Vitor Petrino takes on the American Anthony Lionheart Smith, one of your favorite fighters of all time.
Dude, I think Anthony Smith is fighting as old as the actual movie Lionheart. This guy is not aged well. This is going to be a huge fight for Anthony Smith. A longtime fixture in the top 10 for this weight class. He's currently ranked 10th. 15th ranked Petrino looking to steal that spot here. And if Anthony Smith loses that spot, I don't think he's ever getting into the top 10 again. Smith has been on the decline for a while here. The only 2 wins for him in his last 5 fights were the exact same guy. He fought Ryan Spann twice. And as we know from last week, I was on the wrong end of that one. And Spann's not that good. So he's riding a 3-fight losing streak right now. Here's an interesting stat. Anthony Smith, 1-5 against guys with a longer reach than him. Petrino has the longer reach. And guess what? Petrino can wrestle. This guy's a takedown machine, 15 takedowns and 5 UFC fights. For those that are new to this game, that's really damn good. Smith, one of the worst takedown defenses on the card, and it's only getting worse the older he gets. And once Petrino gets it to the mat, he keeps it there. In all of his fights in the UFC, he holds a huge control time advantage. It is not uncommon to see this guy in a 15-minute fight have an 8-minute control time factor. This line's only going to get bigger. Buy it as soon as possible. If you're going to buy any of these bets, this is the one you got to buy right away.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. Now, I do think if Smith can dodge Petrino's onslaught and he can slow the fight down to a really turtle pace, he has a chance. And I'll just say a chance.
A chance, yes.
Chance. He's seen a ton of fights, though, man, taking way too many punches. He had a title shot once in his career.
Yes.
And he's coming off being knocked out in his last fight. He needs really to retire. It's what he needs to do. You know, like you said, though, you got to buy it. Good money on, a lot of people shy away from like a minus 500 even, but there's good money there. If you believe in the fighter and you plop down, I mean, it's good money. if you don't believe in it, how are you going to make money off this? Well, that line tells me that Petrino will kill Smith, or betters think that Smith's career is over. Either way, you know, I think Smith can last a bit here in the fight. Because the guy doesn't quit, right? If you can get over 1.5 rounds, and I haven't seen a total yet, I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it's 2.5, but if you can get a 1.5, I would take that. I would take the over on that, definitely. But I really do like Petrino to win by TKO here.
Oh, I like it.
Maybe get some late in the fight, in the second, ground and pound, or a submission. Smith, you know, he's beat up. He's going to be bloodied after the first round. And then he's just in a prime spot for a submission.
This will not be a pretty fight for Anthony Smith fans.
No, it will not.
Anthony Smith does do commentary on these fights when he's not fighting.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to have to miss the next week because his face is going to be busted up.
Yeah, really bad. get some big sunglasses.
Yes, yes.
Next up, a middleweight fight on the main card, a Scotsman, Paul Craig versus Caio Bahalio, nickname the Natural John.
One of the hardest names for me to say on the entire fight card. So I'm just going to go with Caio. And in this fight, I'm just going to tell people, you want to watch the weigh-in here. Paul Craig paints his face like Braveheart, and that's going to be the most exciting part of this fight. The weigh-in. Caio is going to dominate him from every angle, I like Caio -450. He's Scottish, so he comes out with the blue on the face like Braveheart. Side note here, between this fight and the Pereira fight, we have a huge night for the middleweight division. A big win by Pereira and a loss by Craig. Pereira could find himself in the rankings. Craig is actually, I think if I remember correctly, ranked 13th, and Caio's ranked 14th. So this is a big, big fight if Pereira actually, and Pereira's unranked, so Pereira could actually jump Craig here. For Caio, this will be the best grappler he's faced, but that's it. Caio has faced much better strikers, and he's beaten them. Caio is riding a 14-fight win streak, and he's a great all-around fighter. Craig, on the other hand, a submission specialist. And by specialist, I mean he can't actually do anything else. He can only win by finish. He has only gone to the scorecards once, and if you've ever seen this guy's fights, obviously he lost it, because if you don't follow him to the ground, he just lays there and lets the other guy kick him in the thighs. So that's his fight style. He cannot win decisions. He can't protect himself on the feet either, and most don't follow him to the ground when he goes there. Craig will fight an entire round from his back. He's comfortable doing it, and that means he is conceding the decision win. Bad news for Craig, Caio has never been finished in his career, and I see him. I was actually telling you, these are the kind of fights me and you like to bet. We like more boring fights. That means we're going to win money. And I see this one being boring, maybe going to distance because Caio doesn't want to follow him to the ground.
I don't know about that. I don't know. He's been a tough son of a gun, that's for sure. Pretty big dude. He's got some power. Bahalio, though, you know, he does have some questions about his defense.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Watch when he fights. He keeps that head up nice and out there. Doesn't tuck it into the chin. Doesn't tuck the chin to the chest. Just keeps that head out there. That said, he's a better grappler. He's better with the ground and pound. He's a better puncher, better fighter.
Yes.
He's better everything.
I know where you're going here.
I know. Look, I honestly think Craig took this fight, John, as a way to just vacation in Rio for free. He gets the flight. He gets the hotel room, and I don't blame him. I can only hope that he's getting paid decent money to lose, because that's what's going to happen here. But how do you bet the fight? How do you bet Bahalo to win here? Here's a couple of bets here that I'm willing to make. Bahalio to win by TKO, and the fight ends in the first round. If it's going to be a slugfest, it's going to be a slugfest. And that way, Mr. Paul can get on with his vacation on the beach in Rio.
I could see a slugfest, and Craig's not going to do very well with that.
Not going to do well at all. To the next fight, a bantamweight fight in the co-main event. We've got Jonathan Dragon Martinez versus Joshi Aldo. Who do you like here?
Oh, boy. I think I got one that may raise a little eyebrows here, but I like Martinez at -130. That's my best bet here. I am going against the King of Rio in his own kingdom. Aldo, a Hall of Famer, a legend, and he's coming out of retirement on that one. And that said, the last three guys he beat are combined 5-10 in their last five fights each. So he's not actually fighting guys that are at the top of their game. Martinez is at the top of his game right now. Aldo, known for his striking, but the 37-year-old has slowed down recently. In his last seven fights, he's actually outstruck his opponent one time. This dude is a Hall of Famer, known for his striking, and he can't land more punches except for one time in the last seven fights. It appears the striking numbers started to fail him in 2017, and he's never regained that form. The chin, too. In his career, he's been knocked out four times, three times since 2017, and this guy has a very long career. So those are recent knockouts here. Martinez, a striker with a high fight IQ and power in his hands. He has 9 wins by knockout, 8 by decision. He's kind of one of those new age fighters that can knock you out and finish you on the ground. He knows how to point fight if he needs to. He's very smart. He knows how to stay away in a third round and not engage. Aldo was retired. He hasn't fought since 2022, and he's coming out of retirement to fight Martinez. This is the last fight on Aldo's contract. With a loss, this might be it for Aldo forever. The King of Rio is leaving the throne on his back, counting the lights.
Yeah. I think that's the way it's going to go. I mean, I just, you know, I was talking with someone today at a book and who is just follows fighting. And he brought it up. He said, Aldo's fighting. It's like, yeah. And he's like, who's he fighting? I said, this kid named Martinez. And he goes, I don't know who that is. I said, well, you will.
It's the dragon.
You will know who he is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I tell you, wait a minute. Who did you?
I like Martinez. Are you going to go against?
Am I going to go the other way on this? I'm not going to go the other. I can't. I'm not going to.
You can't do it, sir. You can't do it.
What do we always say?
People die fairy tales all the time.
All the time. That's what's going to happen here. God bless him. God bless him. But sadly, Martinez destroys Aldo here.
Oh, let's go.
And you're getting decent value if you can get him at 130. I was at the book today, and I went there in person, and I got him at 145. I can't remember.
Still good. Right before this podcast, yeah. It's already up to 185. It is moving. This one's the fastest mover yet.
You got to get it. You got to get it now. Get it now. On the money line, Martinez. You're right, man. I mean, here's another best bet. I do think the fight will go the distance.
I agree with you on that.
I think Martinez by decision is the right one. You know, you got a couple bets in there and options if you want, or bet all of them right there because, you know, look, this is the last fight for Aldo. He's coming back for obviously a reason. He's gonna retire in the ring forever, and he's in front of his home crowd. And, you know, I don't think Martinez is going to give him the grace and that he's not going to, you know. But I think Aldo has just got enough heart that he's going to last through this fight, and that's it.
Yes. I like it, sir. I like it. Very nice.
All right. And almost finally, and I say almost because we do have a few other fights to go here. We have the main event, though, that we want to talk about. A flyweight fight between the Brazilian and home favorite Alexander the Cannibal Pantoja versus the Aussie Steve, your favorite Astro Boy Ersig.
Hey, I will go on record. I have been betting Ersig a lot, but he's been fighting nobodies. So he looks really, really good. But in this fight, Pantoja's a dog. I'm going with Pantoja minus 250. Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Absolutely. This guy's
a fighter on paper, Luke. If Ersig pulls this off, it would be one of the biggest upsets in recent memory. Striking numbers, grappling numbers, submission numbers are all pretty close to each other. But Ersig is getting those numbers against lower level competition, guys making UFC debuts, maybe their second fight on UFC. Pantoja's doing this against number one contenders, championship fighters, former champions. Pantoja's the man. Ersig beat Schnell to get here. Schnell was ranked, but he's 1-3 in his last four fights. Let's sit on that one for a minute here. That's how poor this weight class is right now. A guy ranked is 1-3 in his last four fights, and that's how Ersig got here. In his other fights in the UFC, Ersig beat three guys that were combined 1-5 on the UFC. Pantoja said himself he's a fan of the Rocky movies and wanted to give an unknown a shot. Ersig is a great fighter, though. I think he has championship skills. But not today, not this time, not against this opponent. Pantoja trains an American top team. As we all know, that's one of the top level talent every day that he gets to work with. Some of the best fighters in the world work there in Florida. And Pantoja can hit, and he's also a takedown machine, landing 19 takedowns in his last four fights, 11 in his last title fight, the last time he fought a five-rounder here. This guy, I've mentioned it before, me and you talked about it today on the phone, this guy is a dog. The part you can't take away from Pantoja by looking at his stats is this guy is nasty. He is a fighter. He grew up in the slums of Brazil. This dude is a nasty, nasty fighter. Might be the best pure fighter on the entire UFC. He never gives up on himself, and I'd say he's about as tough as they come on the UFC. He was born to be here. I might take Urseg against every other competitor in the 135-pound weight class, but not Pantoja. The jump here is too much, too fast.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those instances where it's not really a Cinderella or fairy tale for Brazilian fighters like this. And I love fighters like this, because we always talk about this, John. You know, one of the motivations, and it's a real motivation, you've seen it in a lot of other sports too, a lot of these guys, they're going to go all out because they're never going back to the barrio.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever, ever, yeah. Ever.
Yep.
I'll just keep this simple. I'm putting money down on Pantoja any way I can. In front of his home crowd in Rio. Come on, man. Come on. Flavella. Right. He's not going back to the Flavella.
We like that.
Here's another fight I really like. A prelim featherweight fight. Diona Barbosa, minus 210 on the money line versus Ernesta Carcicate.
I'm so glad you do the name, sir.
Carcicate.
Don't worry, folks. You won't have to remember her name when this is over.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Carcicate, an absolute bruiser, though. Absolute bruiser. Tall, big fights, but doesn't move. Doesn't move in the ring. Just stands there. More than 60% of these fights at this weight class, flyweight, among women, end by decision. However, Barbosa is a submission specialist, 100% takedown accuracy, 9.8 subs per 15 minutes. I know that really is just kind of one fight we're talking about, but she had a lot of attempts at a sub. She will make it happen.
Yes.
I will bet Barbosa to win, minus 210, and Barbosa to win by submission as well. John, you got another fight. You got a bonus fight for us.
I think I have a little bonus here. You know, I almost didn't put it in the podcast, and then I decided I can't. I've got to share this with the people. We gave a lot of minus 500s, minus 450 fighters on this card. There's a fight on here. There's a guy that's got a lot of hype, and I'm going with the underdog. I'm going with Jack Shore versus Brito. Give me Jack Shore. And last time I checked, he was plus 125, and that number is actually coming down from where it was earlier in the week. Jack Shore is, like I was mentioning before, one of these new wave fighters. He's from Wales, excellent striker, excellent with submissions. He's got knockouts, he's got submissions. And here's the key for me. This is why I dove into it again. He fought at 135, and I believe, if I remember correctly, he went 6-1 in the UFC at 135. He got up to the ranked opponents, and he lost to Ricky Simone. Simone is a ranked opponent, great wrestler. Well, Jack Shore said that that weight cut was just difficult for him, so he went up to 145 pounds. I dove in a little deeper into those numbers. So he's got two finishes on the UFC already at 145 pounds. In the minor leagues, as I like to call it, the lower level leagues, when he wrestled, or I say wrestle because I used to wrestle, but when he fought at 145 pounds, all of his fights are finished in round two or below. This guy's an animal at 145 pounds when he's not dealing with that weight cut. He actually even toyed with 155 pounds when he first got the MMA. I like Jack Shore a ton in this fight. Brito is Brazilian, and he's a brawler, and he's going to want to try to get a brawl out of Jack Shore. But Jack Shore, I was telling you today, he's got the mentality of a Russian. He just wants to win. He doesn't get involved in brawls. So he's going to fight very, very smart. Take Jack Shore, the underdog, at plus 125.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this guy earlier, and I did it. I'm on him, man. Full unit so far.
Yes, yes.
On that plus 125. And yep. There could be more action there as you go, but get your money down now.
Yes.
Great pick, man. Great pick.
I like all our picks. I feel very good here.
I do too. It's a good week. I'm glad we're back to a pay-per-view, big card.
Yes.
No questions here. No guys, are they at the end of their career or not, except for Aldo. Except for Aldo, God bless him. God bless him.
And Pachel.
That guy.
41 years old.
And Anthony Smith.
Oh, and Anthony Smith.
Linehart.
Punching bag.
What are we doing here? It's going to be a great card, and there's a lot of money to be made. But that's going to do it for the Daddy Sharps podcast. This week, remember, always gamble responsibly and within your means, and the bets we share are based on our own research. We don't always win.
Be sure to check us out on social media. Look for the Daddy Sharps on Facebook and at Daddy Sharps on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, we're going to be back next week with all our best bets and much more. And I'm going to have much better stats, much better win record loss from last week's card.
You're doing all right, my man. You're doing all right. But there is one thing I was wondering, and that is, who is your daddy?
We are.
Stay sharp, everybody.